Praise God. It's exciting to be here today. Oh my gosh, so many new people. I don't know everybody's names. Welcome. I'm June Smith, as Nancy has already introduced me. And I'm just honored to even be here to do this. This is my first time doing a workshop with Point to Hope. I've done other workshops with the Glow International, but this is my first time here. So I've been a little bit like, Lord, what am I going to share? You know, other than what my assignment is, because I thought, how can you fill up 45 minutes? Now, I normally don't think like that because, I mean, I usually have things to say, but I wanted to please the Lord. I wanted every word, everything that we share today that would be an impact on your lives. And like Nancy said in the beginning, even if we go away with one thing, you know, one thing you may learn in this meeting today that would be an impartation of something in your life that you will have forever. And then after we're through here at the workshop, Nancy comes in and, you know, she'll pray over you and such. But it's just been a real blessing. And for my husband, John, some of you maybe don't know him. His name is John Smith, John Edwin. So sometimes he's Jedwin, for those of you that don't know. He has a book in the hallway, I Am Israel, and that's Jedwin Smith. So that's who he is. But and he and I have been married 53 years. This month, January 7th, yeah, this is still January. We're moving fast. We're already the 25th. I go, a month ago was Christmas. Who could believe that? So, yeah. We're high school sweethearts. And I should have known because he was the bad boy that moved to town, and I didn't know that until later, you know. But when you're in high school, what do you know? I was a junior. He was a senior. And we lived in Belvedere, Illinois. That's a long ways from here. But we met in high school. But we have four beautiful daughters and 12 grandchildren and a little great-granddaughter now. And we're so proud of all of our grandchildren. And that's our inheritance. I guess the other day when Nancy said inheritance, that made me realize, oh, they're my inheritance. You know, it's like, hello. It's like sometimes I catch on later. I'm going to blow the shofar and open up our meeting with this. Praise you, Father God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. All glory to you, Father. All glory to you, Father. Praise God. We've had an opportunity to go to Israel three times with the Glow International. And the first time John went with me, it was a blessing. And he didn't, I don't know how much he wanted to go, but I really wanted to go. But I had gathered a team. And with you gathering a team, you can get one free ticket. At that time, I gathered enough that we could get a free ticket. So, you know, he was like, oh, yeah, I'll go, you know. And then the second time was 2006. Then in 2008, I started raising up another team. But the Lord said, it's not for John to have a free ticket. It's for everybody to share the cost lesser. Everybody got a discount. And then in 2017, when we went, and that was right after, before that, the Lord had told me that he was to go with me to write the book on Israel. Because we knew in 2008, God had said, write the book. But then you think, well, how in the world can you go to Israel, live there? Because he said he'd need 90 days to write the book. So the 10-day Holy Land tour, and then the 90 days, it was like, that was our 100 days. How can you go to Israel and live for 100 days and still pay your bills? We're realistic. Back in Georgia, you know, in that and this. And so, you know, we live from paycheck to paycheck too. So anyway, it was God. He worked out all the arrangements. and we were able to go. And so we ended up staying in Abu Ghosh village, which is an Arab village outside of Jerusalem, 15 minutes. We took bus and train every day with the people in our village. It was the most wonderful experience that I think I've ever had in my life, besides getting married and having babies. You know, I mean, just, it was right, like right up there. But to walk the places where Jesus walked and in his footsteps and be with all of people from all around the nations that gather for the same purpose, you know, it was really quite an experience. But my scripture today that Nancy has asked me to share is out of Philippians, and it's Philippians 4:7-8. And it says, it's 6-8. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your mind in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. I believe that this is how I've lived my life, because I don't worry, even though there's been times in my life that you could worry. Because I've known Jesus as my Lord and Savior since 10, and then Julie, our oldest daughter, was born in 69. A glow started in 73. So I was in Illinois in 1973 visiting my sister. We lived in Florida. We had two daughters at that time. He was a sports writer. And we were having marital troubles. And we were living in St. Petersburg. Merritt Island. Merritt Island, Florida, by Cocoa Beach. And we were having marital troubles. We were young and, you know. Anyway, he had the problem with the alcoholism and didn't know when to come home after work. And so he'd stay all night on the beach, you know, enjoying life. And I would worry back then, because I really didn't have that total filling of the Holy Spirit. It was a hard time in my life, but the Lord never made a way of escape for me to leave my husband. So I went to Illinois to visit my sister. I didn't tell any family any of my business, right? You don't tell family your business. Everybody's, you know. And if there's forgiveness that comes in, I would be the one easier to forgive than they would. So sometimes it's just best to hold it for a while and let the Lord work it out. You know, don't just spread your business. So anyway, when I went to Illinois, my sister Marlene says to me that they were having a glow meeting and would I like to go. And they were having lunch. And I never knew what a glow was. You know, it's just Christian women that were coming together to have lunch and share about Jesus. So anyway, I went, and Bob Heil was the speaker from Missouri, St. Louis, and he shared, if you need more of God in your life, or if you'd like the baptism of the Holy Spirit, then come up after the meeting. And I thought, well, I need more of God in my life. I knew that. I didn't know what the other was. So then I went up afterwards, and when I got up to walk forward, I felt a hand on my back, and I thought my sister was with me, but there was nobody there. It was Jesus. So when they started praying in tongues over me, it's like, whoa, I didn't know what that was. It was like not knowing. You know, I didn't know what that was. And so when I told my sister what happened, she says, oh, that's called tongues. And she says, and if you got any of that, then you just pray that all, you know, over and over, and God will give you more. So it started out with me, something like that. It was just two or three syllables. And so through the years, that was in 73, so through the years now, I can pray all day, all night in tongues. And if you go on mission trips, it's really important. especially some of the areas you go into, like Nancy Haney, with all of these places she goes. I'm sure that she and her teammate, it's Sarah right now, but Uda and Debbie have gone with her. And so you have to pray when you're on a mission from God like that, and not just there, but in life, period. Because we're on a mission from God every single day, wherever we go, and we are the light of Jesus, and sometimes things will happen. So before you leave home, you need to put on your full armor of God every day, and you pray the Lord's Prayer. That's what we've been doing since we've been in Israel now, since 2017. The Lord showed me that we weren't doing that, and we needed to do that daily because the battles were going to get greater. And when we don't, if we forget, which we do sometime, we will have to put it on later in the day, because we'll notice when we leave the house, things happen different than they normally would. So that's just us. But the Lord does say, put on your full armor of God. So it's very important. And so what happened there was God filled me up with his agape love. Okay, so it was more love than what I had before. I didn't realize it until the forgiveness came. Because then I was able to forgive my husband for the things that he did towards me and our children with his alcoholism. He didn't know he had a problem. I actually was sort of naive. I didn't really know he did either until, you know, things got worsened. But if you have the forgiveness in your heart, then you can stay in that place. And if you have the forgiveness in your heart towards someone, then you can forgive and move on and let the Lord work. If you don't have the forgiveness, you can't. It will just, everything will decline. So God did that in me. And of course, he didn't know any of that stuff was going on. But anyway, so things happened for the better, and we kept moving forward. But It's like when we read in Philippians, it says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving. And whatever you need, and you're going through this, you know, right now at this time, say, pray and God will give you that heart of thanksgiving. Because every day, I mean, I'm always saying, thank you, Lord, thank you, Lord, thank you, Lord, through my day, thank you, Lord, praise God, thank you, Lord. I wake up praising God. I'll say, hallelujah, praise the Lord. And I look over to see if I've woken up John. And no, he's still asleep. He's a deep sleeper, so that works well. But the Lord wants us to have that heart of thanksgiving. And let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And that peace of God is what we need every day to be able to go through certain, well, just life stuff, life circumstances. Without God's peace, we could not function. And so I thank God for his peace that he gives us by his Holy Spirit. And finally, brothers, whatever is true. And whenever things come in, you know, to harm you with sickness or stinking thinking or whatever, that's not true. So I just say, no, Satan, you're a liar. The Lord is alive. God is alive in my life, and Satan, you're a liar. So he flees. He doesn't stick around, because you have to know who you are in Christ Jesus. And when you know that, he's not going to stick around. And so we just have to keep praying with that. And whatever is right, whatever is pure, and just, you know, the honesty of everything. Just, you know, if we've made mistakes, just admit it, ask forgiveness, and move on. It has made for a happy marriage 53 years, hasn't it, honey? What is lovely, what is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. That's why I love to worship. Pastor Stephen, we just love you and your worship team. And just to be able to worship God and stay in his presence of a life of worshiping God day and night, like we will in heaven one day. We'll all be praising God day and night, day and night, day and night, day and night. And so it's just a beautiful lifestyle. So in my reference in Philippians, it says, let's see, this is going to be in 4:5. Ultimate joy comes from the Christ dwelling within us. Christ is near, and in his second coming, we will fully realize this ultimate joy. He who lives within us will fulfill his final purposes for us. The joy of the Lord is our strength. If you have joy, you can just leap over a wall. I mean, you know, it's like the joy of the Lord is our strength. If I didn't have joy in my life, I couldn't get through the day. You know, I don't know if you ever remember that song. The joy of the Lord is my strength. 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 And sometimes we just have to tell ourselves. Because, you know, sometimes you're just tired. You know, like these meetings, these conferences. John's never been to one. I go, now you know why. When I get home, I come in and say, hi, honey, I'm going to take a nap. He gets it now. But, I mean, who doesn't want to be here in the presence of God and with his saints, you know, together and worshiping God? I mean, this is just heavenly. It's a touch of heaven. So, yeah, he's learning, but he loves it. He says to me last night, I was so tired. He says to me last night on the way home, he goes, because I wasn't real sweet. I was just sort of answering in a tired way. I really didn't feel like talking, right? But we were trying to find our way back to the house, and he's like, now don't rain on my parade. Because he was so on fire for the Lord and so excited and exuberant in things of God. He wasn't ready to go to bed, right? He just wanted to stay up and just spend more time with the Lord. And all I can see is fire, 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 fire. Whew, the fire of the Holy Spirit is burning hot. Oh, I'm so grateful to God for that. So we are to be gentle, reasonable, fair-minded, and charitable to those outside the church and not just to fellow believers. This means we are not to seek revenge against those who treat us unfairly, nor are we to overly vocal about our personal rights. You know, everybody's at a different state in their life and in our family and different stages and all that. And I shared something at the table yesterday just briefly. It was about our daughter, Joanne. She's 38 now, but when she was a teenager, she had a car accident. She was the passenger in the back seat. And the young man that was driving, he's a teenager, and he pulled out of this parking from this place that they were at and wasn't really paying attention, and he pulled out without looking to the left, and that car slammed into the car, and our daughter was injured in the head. She had stitches here, and she had a neck problem in her back for many, many years, and she sometimes still has reactions in her neck. But she had so much bitterness towards this boy because he didn't look, and because she was in his vehicle, and she just really didn't like this kid. And she was in middle school, and she was having a hard time, and I could see the bitterness was making her very angry and changing her. And so when it came to the settlement, all we wanted was just monies to pay for her bills, give her a little bit of extra monies, but we probably should have held out somewhat for more later for down the road, but who knows what's down the road. But God has healed her all these years, and she seems to be getting healthier. So I look at her now, and I'm thinking, I don't hear her complaining of neck problems. She does put ice pack on her back. She's been cleaning houses and stuff, so I can understand that. But she had to forgive that boy. Well, that was when she, well, see, she's 38, so that was probably when she was 15, 16. So, I mean, it's been quite a few years. Well, she's in AA. Our daughter is in AA. And she and Stephen had gotten divorced 2 years ago. And Stephen and her had some problems. And with Joanne, with that pain in her neck, she was on medication from the doctor, and she got hooked to it. So she got off the painkillers, but she drank. So, but married to Stephen and then divorced, so I mean, that's how her lifestyle was. It was ups and downs all through her life with three boys. So now Joanne has moved into our house with the three boys, and we're trying to help her through these hard times. But what we see, and as long as everybody's moving forward, that's all we want. You know, just keep moving forward, and we trust God, and she knows, and she loves the Lord. But she is in a different place, a different walk. But we can see so much improvement in her life, can't we, honey? And also in the boys, because we were talking at lunch about, you know, our homes are a home of refuge and safety where people come in and they feel the presence of God. Well, I mean, sometimes my grandsons don't want to even leave home. It's like, just go somewhere today. Go visit a buddy or something. I mean, they just stay home a lot, which they're 20, 18. We have four grandsons, actually. They're 20, 18, 17, was 16 and 13. But the 13-year-old takes up the time of the other three. I mean, you know, he's just, oh, my gosh. He's always a debater. Anyway, but with Joanne, I saw that brokenness in her life, you know, but the Lord is healing her. And I'm grateful for that. But why I say this, and I know AA is anonymous, but I'm not really saying names and stuff, and I really don't know. But she said she saw that boy, now he's a man, at an AA meeting. She ran into him, and guess what they were studying in their little book of what, 10 or 12? 12 steps. It was making amends. And she tells me this the other day, and she goes, making amends, Mom. And then the Lord brings him to me, you know, and she says, he announces his name, and she went, like, she says, I wouldn't have recognized him. She said, but I knew his name. So then after she knew his name and flipped her head, she goes, that was him. So I don't know exactly what happened. She didn't tell me, you know, with the men's thing, but the Lord is working on her with that. And that's what he does with us. I mean, you know, if we have situations in our life, he'll always bring them to surface to get it right. Yeah. Don't hold on to bitterness and resentment long, because it will kill you. It will really eat you up. All kinds of stuff go on in the digestive system and the mind, and, you know, make you crazy and do things stupid and all that stuff. But you can only imagine raising four daughters. I mean, it's been a challenge. I call him St. John because he had five women in the house, you know, that week of the month. He's always been a good husband and a good father. He just was hard on himself. But anyway, so we're getting back to imagine. It's in 4, 6, and 7. Imagine never being anxious about anything. It seems like an impossibility. We all have worries on the job, in our homes, at school, but Paul's advice is to turn our worries into prayers. Do you want to worry less? Then pray more. Whenever you start to worry, stop and pray. It seems so easy. You know, it really should be easy. But sometimes, you know, we get into situations that, you know, immediately sometimes, you know, you're not going to, you know, I mean, lots of things happen that you could worry like that, you know. But then you stop and you pray, and the Lord just sort of eases that so you can actually deal with that situation in a right mind, you know, the mind of Christ. In 4:7, God's peace is different from the world's peace. And you can see that in John 14:27. I wonder if I think I wrote that down. John, let's see. If not, does someone have that for me? John 14, 27. Mm-hmm. And true peace is not found in positive thinking, in absence of conflict, or in good feelings. It comes from knowing that God is in control. That was my husband's subject yesterday. God is in control. Sometimes we think, you know, especially me, I mean, I have tried to fix things. Could anybody else here be honest? I think women in general, I don't know. I mean, men do too, but I think women in general like fixing things more. And I don't know why. God's made us different. But we try not to because the Lord wants to be in control. And so a lot of times I'll say, Lord, I'm not in control. You are. You know. I remember one time I went with my friend Betty Goldman and Terry to Uganda, Africa. I've been to Africa twice on mission trips with this particular ministry. Spirit in the Word. Spirit in the Word ministry. And, of course, you know, like Nancy had brought up about, you know, just being in the natural, being concerned about finances and stuff. We have to trust God. And I still work on that every day, you know. She asked us if we want to come up to Alaska yesterday. And I go, well, my daughter and four kids live with me. I don't know if we can do that. We just have to pray about that. Well, he got you to Israel, didn't he? You know? And I do trust God. And if he wants me there, he's in control. He will work it out. You know? But so I forget what I was going somewhere else on that one. But true peace is not found in, okay, I already said that. Okay, our citizenship is in Christ's kingdom. Wait a minute. Our citizenship in Christ's kingdom is sure. Our destiny is set, and we can have victory over sin. And let God's peace guard your heart against anxiety. And he does guard our heart against anxiety. So I thank you, Father, for that. What we put in our minds determines what comes out in our words and actions. So we do have to be really careful. You know, like, just for instance, when you go sometimes visit family, you know, at holiday time, you're with family that maybe doesn't live the same lifestyle you do with the Lord. And, you know, maybe they're, you know, drinking or partying or, you know, just saying things that you don't agree with. It's hard to be in those environments for us. We can be in those environments for a short time, but we're not in those environments for a long time. Especially like when we went down to Texas to visit his brother Joe and Pam, they have, get your tequila and get your this and get your that and, you know, have a party around the pool. And we can only do that for a little bit of time. Just remember to pray for Joe. He's John's brother. He has esophagus cancer it was 2 days ago, I think it was, he had surgery. They took a third of his stomach. They pulled it up to be a new esophagus. That's how they can do that now. And so it was a miracle. I mean, he had had chemo and radiation prior to that, and they got the cancer somewhat, but to do the surgery. So, I mean, they said he could have bleed to death had that not happened. So everything was in line. But, boy, they are hard to reach. They are hard to reach. I've been praying for them for a long time, and they are hard to reach. But he admitted something in his Facebook page to all of us, and it was something, I'm saying this because maybe someone's going through this, I don't know, but he at John's mother's funeral, my mother-in-law's funeral, her name was also June, who I dearly loved, at the funeral, because they were Catholic, and she was divorced, the priest would not come and read her her last rites. And my brother-in-law had held that anger and bitterness in his heart all these years. I didn't know that. But he admitted it on Facebook to his friends and family. And I always thought, what would eat up the esophagus like that? He likes that hot, spicy stuff. So I was blaming it on that. Well, it's sin. I think it's sin. You know, what else could be that bitter to eat your esophagus up? I don't know. And I don't want to point fingers and accuse my brother-in-law of that, but that's the only thing I can think of because he doesn't know Jesus as Lord and Savior. So we pray for Joe and we pray for Pam and their whole family, Lord, that they will come into the kingdom of God before he dies, that he knows you as his Lord and Savior, Father. Jesus' name. That's how I pray for Joe. Because, you know, that's how we have to pray for those that aren't saved when they come to your heart. So, but he's doing well. He's doing well. So, and there was a lot of bitterness in that family. Like when John shared yesterday when his brother Jeff went to Vietnam and he was killed. That family had a lot of bitterness in towards the Marine Corps, towards God, and towards John and his father. Because they thought that if it hadn't been for the Marines, John and his dad, Jeff would never have gone. So, you know, you don't know how that hatred and bitterness and resentment comes into families. But, you know, we all have it. And we all have to just say, okay, this is what it is. But let's pray about it. Because God will intervene and save that soul. His father didn't know the Lord as his Savior. He was an old fart Marine. I used to witness to him all the time with love. Love of Jesus. And then every so often I give him a little track. And I did pray for him several times. But, you know, I mean, you just have to just sort of be gentle and ease into, you know, whatever. Don't be real pushy because nobody wants anybody being pushy. So that would be, so Paul tells us to program our minds with thoughts that are true, noble, right, pure, lovely, admirable, excellent, and praiseworthy. Do you have problems with impure thoughts and daydreams? Examine what you are putting into your mind through television, books, conversations, movies, and magazines. Replace harmful input with wholesome material. And above all, read God's word and pray. And ask God to help you focus your mind on what is good and pure. And it takes practice, but it can be done. And if you have any of those things that you can't quite overcome, there's always Christian counselors and pastors that you can go to and ask for extra prayer and extra help. Because sometimes we do need that extra help and support to overcome some of those strongholds. But the Lord did tell me on the way here that he was taking shackles off of people while we were here and tearing down strongholds in our lives. We would never be the same. I mean, with all the word that we've gotten and all the truths that God has given us, and with the preaching and the teachings and everything, just sharing and being with each other, back and forth conversations and all of that, prayer and worship, all of everything, we are being sold out and totally changed for the Lord. And we have to be in these end days because things are going to get tougher, they're going to get harder, but we're going to get stronger. And we will know more and more and more who we are in Christ Jesus, that we will be more courageous and more bold because we are going to be like roaring lions. And, you know, with the pay year 5780 in the Hebrew year and 2020 with the mouth, we're going to have to be really careful because we do all have faults. We do still have some of the old stuff that comes out of our mouth that we are all working on. We can't repeat some of the things that we repeated. We're in the new wine, not the old wine, you know. And what John and I have coveted to do is to help each other, you know, to talk correct or, you know, if we say something or act a certain way, we try to help each other in that way because we become close enough to communicate with each other after all these years. It took a long time to get here. you know. But now we can talk and pray together, which is beautiful. I really appreciate that, because when he went up to have prayer last night, it was for covering of our family. And with when you open up the doors to the enemy and things can happen to your family, you know, that normally wouldn't have, you know. But now, but the Lord is gracious. The Lord is restoring all those years that the locust has stolen. And he's on, so on fire for the Lord. I don't know what we're going to do next. I mean, things are happening, you know. But I'm willing. Like when Nancy called and she goes, June, the Lord told me that you and John were to do a workshop. Well, I haven't been to Nancy's workshop, I don't know, a year or two. It's been a while. You know, it didn't work out. I've seen her in Georgia last year when she came, but not to be a part of the conference. So when she asked us, I go, well, let me give you the phone to John, you know, because I thought, well, he's going to have to be the deciding voice, you know. I mean, I would probably say yes, but, you know, if she's asking both. He said yes immediately like that. And I'm going, whoa, God's doing something really big here. Really, really, really big. Really big. And so, and now with the big and the fire, it's like, I don't know what God's going to have us do next, honey. It's exciting. It's very, well, when you're walking your life out with the Lord, it's a big adventure, right? Amen. Every day is a new adventure. Every day of our life is a new adventure. It's like, it's exciting, you know? And that's why you can have so much joy. And thank you, Lord, for the joy of the Lord is our strength, because we couldn't do this without you. So we have a little while yet. So let me see. There was a couple other things on. This is actually still in Philippians. But I love that scripture in Philippians where it's 4:13. I can do everything through him who gives me strength. You know, and sometimes we just have to talk it out. You know, because if you say it out loud, it seems to really hit home better with me, you know, than if I'm just reading it. I can do everything through him who gives me strength. So with that, I want you all to stand up, please. And we're going to raise our hands. And you're going to really get it in you. Okay? We're going to say it together. I can do everything through him who gives me strength. Okay, let's do it again. I can do everything through him who gives me strength. Okay, one more time. I can do everything with him that gives me strength. Hallelujah. Amen. Didn't you feel it go in? I mean, didn't you just feel that presence of God just strengthening you? And it's like the first time sort of weak, and then the second time is stronger, and then the third time was really strong, and you really got it. Amen. Right? That's the kind of courage and boldness that God is giving us in these end days. You know, the more we get the word in, the more we take action, we're going to know it, you know. We can run through a troop and leap over a wall. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes. Okay, you can sit have a seat. John says, you just tickle me. I do things that just tickle him. But we do that with each other all day long. We'll say things that make us laugh. Even if it's sort of silly or stupid or whatever, you know, it's like, just, hey, laugh. You got to laugh. You know, sometimes when you go out and you hear someone laugh, you go, because you don't hear laughter that much. Now, we do amongst ourselves, right? But when you're out and about, if I hear a little child laughing, that just blesses me so much, because usually in the grocery store, you hear them crying. Yeah. And you want to just go over there and love them, but then you can't because, you know, you might be someone that's going to kidnap the child. What has this world come to? We're in the end days. I mean, we see it all around. So we just have to keep praying and reaching out and win souls for Jesus. Win souls for Jesus. And the Lord's been impressing me more and more. He says, you need to learn how to seal the deal. I can talk about Jesus. I can be the light of Jesus. But have you really... Do you know if you were to die tonight, if you would go to heaven or hell? Yeah. Do you know that?
Yes, I do.
You do. Mm-hmm. I led two men to the Lord 2 months ago at the nursing home. One was in his 90s, and one was in his 80s. And I thought, oh, my God, they don't have much time. We don't know when we're going to die, right? But it's like, we need to learn how to seal the deal. And so I prayed with this little man. He's in his 90s, and Jesus, he looked great. I mean, he didn't look like he was in his 90s, and he was really full of life. And I said, were you in the military? I just sensed that. You know, they carry themselves different. And we should carry ourselves different, too, because we're in the military, right? People should recognize us, okay? We're the army of God. So anyway, I said to him, I said, what was your rank? He never gave me his rank. He said, I had 1,000 men under me. He didn't want to say his rank. I said, my husband wrote a book, and it's called Our Brother's Keeper. And I said, it's helping a lot of the people in the military with healing because it's about, there's a lot of in there that's unforgiveness. And he says, I'm not going to talk about stuff that I've been through. He says, because I'm carrying that with me to my grave. You know, 96. Why would he want to go back to the past and think about all those things that happened, you know, with his guys under him or whatever, all the battles or whatever. I didn't want to dig anything up, yeah. You know, and the Lord didn't. We don't have to go back to the old, yeah. You know. And if the Lord wants something healed, the Lord will do that. We don't do that. So anyway, I said, have you ever received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? I said, do you know if you died tonight, would you go to heaven or would you go to hell? And he says, no, I don't know that. And I says, can I pray with you? And you can be guaranteed right now the answer. And he said, yes. I was really sort of surprised. But we just have to ask. And that's what God is saying, just ask. Don't be afraid to ask. You know, if the Lord is nudging us wherever we may be to go that extra step, we have to go the extra step. And I want to get stronger in winning souls for Jesus. And I've even asked the Lord, I'd like to win one a day, you know. I mean, I'd like more than one a day, but, you know, if I could do one a day, that's not happened yet. But I want to do one a day. That would be my baby step, you know, and then just reach the world. I mean, because that's what it's all about. You see on Facebook, there's been salvations and baptisms in Egypt and in Iraq and China and I mean all over the world. God is saving souls and winning people to Christ. This is so exciting because it does say that in the end times, you know, every knee will bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And so we're excited to see that this is happening more and more and more in our families, in our neighbors, in our churches, in our communities and all over the world. And so I read that one, I can do everything through him who gives me strength. And then the other one is in Philippians 4:19, and my God will meet all your needs according to his riches, according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. This is the NIV version. So different versions share a couple different words. But that one is actually, I hate to admit this, but two of my grandsons tattooed that on their chest. I don't like tattoos because I'm grandma. But they go, but Connor goes, or Skylar goes, but grandma, it's small. Doesn't that look beautiful? Because he says, I am a Christian, and I want that on my chest. And he goes, I can do all things, you know. I can do all things. And so I said, okay, you can do that, Skylar. I mean, I'm still old-fashioned. Oh, Lord, help me. And I say that all day long, too. Oh, Lord, help me. And he does. Okay, in Philippians 4:10 through 14, are you content in any circumstances you face? Paul knew how to be content, whether he had plenty or whether he was in need. The secret was drawing on Christ's power for strength. Do you have great needs, or are you discontented because you don't have what you want? Learn to rely on God's promises and Christ's power to help you be content. If you always want more, ask God to remove that desire and teach you contentment in every circumstance. He will supply all your needs, but in a way that He knows is best for you. For more on God supplying our needs, we can read 4:19, which we just did. But being content, John was raised in a family with 6 kids. He was the oldest. I was raised in a family of 5 kids. I was the 4th in line. Where was I? The 4th in line. And it was like, I think because we both came from bigger families, it almost seemed like we seemed to be a little bit more flexible, you know, because we didn't have maybe what a one-child family would have. You know, they may have more, we would have lesser, but we learned to live with hand-me-downs and share and love your brother and love your sister and be nice and take your brother David with you, because if you want to go to the park, you're going to take your brother. You know, so I mean, you just learn to be flexible, you know, and that's a good thing. And then him as the older brother, I think that was hard on him, because usually the older one seems to have a lot more responsibility. And with him having that responsibility and all those little ones under him, his mom and dad might not have had as much time for him as maybe he would want, you know. It's always harder on the older one. But it's taught him the character he is today, you know. And what I've gone through in my life, it's helped build my character. My mother died when I was 15. She had breast cancer. My dad died when I was 21. He had throat cancer. But, you know, that was young. And, you know, of course, it did take some time to work through that as a teenager, losing your mother that young. But the Lord always sent me older women in my life to mentor me. Like they were my mothers, you know. And when you're going through life stuff, God just sort of, He just fixes it along the way, you know, and He brings in, if you didn't have a sister, you always wanted a sister, He'll bring in all these sisters, right? Or whatever that may be, but it's just all good. So we just have to learn to be content in all things. And this says in 4:13, in Philippians 4:13, where we talked about I can do everything through Him who gives me strength. The power we receive in union with Christ is sufficient to do His will and to face the challenges that arise from our commitment to doing it. He does not grant us superhuman ability to accomplish anything we can imagine without regard to His interests. As we contend for the faith, we will face troubles, pressures, and trials as they come, as Christ is strengtheneth you. This just keeps coming over and over and over, you know, that the Lord wants to give us strength. Praise God. And when we give to those in need, there is not only benefit to the receiver, but we are benefited as well. It was not the Philippians' gift, but their spirit of love and devotion that Paul appreciated most. So we just have to really reach out to our neighbors with love and devotion. And Paul was not referring to a sin offering, but in a thank offering, a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice pleasing to God. So we just praise you, Father God, for the love and devotion that you have given us and the love and devotion that we can give to others, Father. Thank you. We can trust that God will always meet our needs. Whatever we need on earth, He will always supply, even if it is the courage to face death as Paul did. Whatever we need in heaven, He will supply. We must remember, however, the difference between our wants and our needs. Most people want to feel good and avoid discomfort or pain. We may not get all that we want. By trusting in Christ, our attitudes and appetites can change from wanting everything to accepting His provision and power to live for Him. When we went to Israel,
When we went to Israel and we needed the money the third time, 2017,
I had a special edition Camry. It was very, very nice. I loved my car. And I went to a intercessory prayer in Atlanta, down in Atlanta, and it was for different pastors from Georgia came together, Pentecostal and Baptist together. It was a beautiful meeting in leaders in ministry, and I was invited to come with Teresa Cantrell, who is Capital Prayer. That's her ministry. But there are all these different ministries and all these different pastors. It was beautiful. So I went with two of my other Aglow sisters, and we went down, and I was driving. Well, on the way home, Tammy, because she's had a lot of surgery on her back, she's on a painkiller. And I've been praying for her to come off of that. You know, only God can do that. But she got a little confusion in her head because she needed her medicine. That confusion came into my car. And I've never experienced this before. So as an intercessor, you know, we're real sensitive. So I was at the stoplight and my light turned green to get on 85. And I didn't turn left. I went straight and my car went up and over a curb with the front right tire. Okay. So the Lord always sends me help. There's a police officer right there. He comes over, ma'am. You need to turn your car around and go back to that gas station and get your tire fixed. And so I said, thank you. And, you know, away we went. And I hadn't opened up the back of that trunk to see if I had a donut or a real tire. I mean, it was a 10-year-old car, right? So anyway, I had a real tire. And I called your help thing for the insurance people you call for help for the cars, whatever that car road hazard stuff is. They came within 30 minutes, and they put my tire on. Okay, there was a little something that had fallen down, so he sort of wired that up or something. So I drove Tammy home. Of course, I called John and all that, and he's like, oh, my God. But it wasn't bad. I mean, it was just the tire, right? So then I drive the next day with that car the way it was, but it was drivable. It just, you know, a little damage. So then I drove down to Atlanta and did the prayer with the pastors and all of that. And see, the devil didn't want me to go back. That's what that happened for. He didn't want me to go back. So, no, we're going back, right? Okay, so we go back and we have our prayer the next day. And so that week I drove that car into Toyota and they totaled my car. They totaled my car, even though it was drivable. But because they couldn't get certain parts, it was a special edition, so they couldn't find the parts. So it was still drivable. But anyway, they totaled the car and my insurance gave me $8,000. So I put my money in the bank, and it's sitting there for 6 months. I never felt led to get a car. I mean, if I'm going to get a car, I pray, Lord, am I supposed to get a car? I never felt to get a car. And 6 months later, the Lord says, that money's not for a car. That's for Israel. I go, oh, yeah, Israel. You know, so I told Johnny, we're going to Israel, honey. We're going to Israel. Okay, that'll pay for 10 days in Israel for two people for Holy Land tour. Maybe a little less, but it's up there, you know. So anyway, so then we just had to trust the Lord for the 90 days, right? Well, if He's getting us to Israel, He's going to take care of the rest, right? So then, so I started praying about that. I go, you know what? They do these letters a lot at our church when people are going on mission trips. I said, why don't we send out a letter for people to pray for us? And if they want to give, that's fine. But just start praying because we needed help. So we did that.
And within a short time, we were able to go to Israel. We got down to, at the end of our days, when we came home with 3 shekels. Was it $3, 3 shekels?
4 shekels and $20.
4 shekels and, I thought you had 2 twenties. Yeah, 4 shekels, and he had hidden two $20 bills tucked away. So when we got back in Atlanta, we'd have money to get back for gas and stuff, home and stuff. Yeah, so we got 3 shekels, but God is a right-time God, right? He's an on-time God. He's a nick-of-time God. I love that. Someone told me that lately. Nick-of-time God. What? Was that nick-of-time? Yeah, nick-of-time. Anyway, so, I mean, God will work it out, even though we don't know how he's going to do it. So now John and I share his Toyota truck. I love his little truck. And the Lord did say one day he's going to give me another car. And if he does, that's fine. If he doesn't, that's fine. We still share. I drive it more than he does because I go more than you do. But with him going all these years, you know, in the past, here and there and yonder, he just likes to be home. You know, sometimes you're just tired of going. So just stay home and rest, you know, and that's what we do. But so we're almost time for Nancy to come in. But before we do that, there's this one area in Philippians. It's 4:23. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. In many ways, the Philippian church was a model congregation. It was made up of many different kinds of people who were learning to work together. But Paul recognized that problem could arise, so in his thank you letter, he prepared the Philippian for difficulties that could crop up within any body of believers. Though a prisoner in Rome, Paul had learned the true secret of joy and peace, imitating Christ and serving others. By focusing our minds on Christ, we learn unity, humility, joy, and peace. We will also be motivated to live for him. We can live confidently for him because we have the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ with us. And I wrote down again, unity, humility, joy, and peace. We will be motivated to live for him. We will live confidently for him because we have the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ with us. And I added love because if you don't have love, you don't have any of these things, God's love. So that would be probably my, does anybody have any questions or wants to lead in a different direction for closing out because Nancy's not here? And if there's any questions, maybe I don't have the answer, but maybe I do. Maybe the Lord does for me. John. So, does anybody want to add anything to that about praying? Because I think we covered a lot of that. But okay, so do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God will transcend all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Does anybody have anything to add to that part?
Did you pray certain scripture? I mean, I need to be more intentional about praying.
Yeah. Well, you know what's a good one that I love to pray is Jermaine Copeland's book, It's Prayers That Availeth Much. Have you ever read that? She's an excellent teacher. She's in Georgia. She's been around for many years, but you pray the word. I like praying the word because the word doesn't return void. And everything that you pray in the word is going to come to fruition. So I always prayed the word of God over my husband and yes. Yeah. Well, you know, and that's really something more that's been in our lives more in the last few years about decreeing and declaring, you know, that our family will come in alignment with God. And we do decree and declare that. And we do decree and declare that our prodigals will come in the name of Jesus. And so, oh, there's another thing. This past year, they call me the shofar lady now because I've been blowing the shofar for many years. I've had the opportunity to blow it on the top of Mount Hermon in Israel. I have had the opportunity to blow my shofar on the East Coast and the West Coast, at the Grand Canyon several times, at the borders in New Mexico, in Arizona, Illinois. Everywhere I go, I take my shofar and pray and make declarations in that state. So we cover and saturate every state or everywhere we go with prayer. If you don't have a shofar or a ram's horn, just pray. And we are living shofars.
That's what I was going to say.
We are living shofars.
That's the purpose of the declaration is because we are a shofar.
Exactly.
Our voice.
Exactly.
And one scripture I would give to you is the jailer, when Peter and them were in prison, and he said, the Lord promised him his whole household. He said he promised him his whole household. That, so the thing of it is decree and declare my whole household.
Right. Because believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved, you and your household.
Amen.
I started with me and my four. And then I went to aunts and uncles.
That's right.
Workers and everybody, you know.
Great. A good encouragement is Rahab. When the spies went in and she put the blood, her whole husband's family.
Amen.
And when that says whole, that means aunts, uncles, cousins.
Everybody.
Amen. Amen. It goes on and on and on, on and on and on. So the Lord sent me to 100 towns in Georgia this year to pray and blow the shofar, that the fire and the glory of God come down. And the fire and glory has started in Georgia. It's moving out. Okay, it's here now in South Carolina. And there is a revival going on in Dalton, Georgia with the oil and the Bible. Have you heard about that? Okay. Okay. Then in Dawsonville, they're having revival in the baptism waters. People being saved and baptized in the fire of God comes on the people when they go in. And, you know, we've been to Dalton a couple times, but we're going to be going to Dawsonville, I think, with our grandchildren. But we're waiting on the Lord to show us when, because I don't want to go just because everybody's going. It's not, you have to be sensitive to what God's telling you. You know, don't just join the fan club or whatever. You have to be sensitive to what God is saying to you. So we just praise God for that.